I'm Rosanna Gill, and this is the Her Path to Purpose podcast, a podcast for every woman who has ever asked, is this it? You'll hear from women who have had the audacity to ask that exact question and share what their journeys to define and pursue more for their lives look like. This podcast will open your eyes to the infinite possibilities available to you and prepare you to forge your own path to purpose. Get ready for the career day you never knew you needed. So we are doing a live recording of the next episode of Her Path to Purpose podcast, where I am talking about how your healed struggles are your USP. And if you don't know, your USP is your unique selling point. Now, here's the thing. You might think, okay, well, that sounds like something that only applies to entrepreneurs or coaches. And it does apply to them, but it really applies to anyone. And the reason I've been thinking about this a lot is I had a conversation not too long ago with someone that I did a breathworks session with. And we were talking about how they were having difficulty in sales. And I asked first, like, okay, well, you know, I can speak from experience here. What is your background in sales? Because if you had grew up in a household where sales was not revealed, where sales was something that was looked down upon, then subconsciously, you probably still look down upon what you're doing and you're sabotaging your own success. So that's one thing. But the other thing I asked is what they did before they went into their current career. And they had a position where basically they became an expert at reading people's nonverbal cues. And I'm not going to get into what they did. You know, that's their business. But when they told me, I looked at them, I said, so really, there is absolutely no reason you should not be one of the top salespeople in your office, because reading people's nonverbal cues is one of the, like, the slight edge that's not slight in sales, right? But here's the thing. A lot of times when we are struggling, we can't see our own strengths or the strengths that came from a struggle. So, like, for instance, I never understood that my USP was also reading people's nonverbal cues, because I was so hung up on how I was struggling in other ways and how I didn't say things exactly right, or how I didn't show up a certain way like other people did in my company when I worked for a sales organization. Like, I don't look like them. I don't act like them. I don't speak like them. So therefore I can't be successful. Not understanding, no, you went through very unique experiences that actually make you very qualified as a salesperson. For me personally, that was growing up with a family member that was dealing with mental illness. And I remember from a very, very young age, always watching their face, because that let me know whether an episode was coming, if we were out in public, whether I needed to get them into somewhere like out of public. So I knew they had certain telltale signs, like their eyes would glaze over. There was something they would do with their bottom lip where it would, like, protrude. It's a certain way they would do it where I would know, oh crap. An episode's coming, like, I got to get us out. Or if we're home, I just know, okay, I got to go to my room because I know what's coming. And I got really good at watching that on everyone. My dad actually has this thing, and I told him about it in high school, where, because I don't know if some of you know, but my dad is a high school history teacher, and he was my teacher for 3 out of 4 years. And I remember one time when I was in his class, we were kind of pushing his buttons, and he took off his glasses and did this. And I knew, I'm like, we got to stop. Like, we got to pull back, because that means he's about to explode. Because from years of watching my dad, like, when my dad would teach summer school, I would go with him and watch him, right? And I would always be in class with him. So I knew when he did that, that meant he was about to blow up. So I kind of, like, pulled back. And then I told him later, I was like, oh, I knew you were getting angry because you did that thing. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I said, oh, every time you get really angry, you take off your glasses and you rub here. And y'all, it was so ingrained in him that even when he got LASIK and he no longer had glasses, he still rubs that area anytime he's about to blow up. It's the same way when I was a waitress, I figured out that my boss, I knew when she was lying because she had her left eye would twitch. Like, and I found it because I watched her lie to a customer and that left eye went. And I remember thinking, oh, I've seen her do that before. And then I tested her a week later on something I knew she would lie about, and she did the same thing. So then I knew, okay, every time she lies, she does, her left eye twitches. Now, I could not see that in myself at the time when I first started in my sales career, because I was just so focused on everything I did wrong. Now, understanding what I do about what I went through and how I grew up and, like, the things that I internalized as my fault and I'm not good enough, I was so attached to not to seeing myself as not good enough that I couldn't see the things that I had that really made me, that gave me an edge, that gave me an advantage. And everybody has them. The thing is, we get so hell bent or so hung up on, I have to be this sort of person for this sort of role, that we're not thinking of all the things, our life experiences, and all the ways that that actually makes you so much more qualified than the person you're comparing yourself to. And even, I remember saying this and it didn't go over very well. I remember once I was at a meeting and somebody was talking about the stress of our job and like navigating all the personalities and having to apologize for people. And I said it with, honestly, the best of intent. Like, I didn't mean anything by it, but I was like, oh, it's okay. I mean, really, being raised by somebody who's dealing with a mental illness is phenomenal training for working for this company. And I didn't mean it like as a dig, but then I saw the look on their face and I was like, uh-oh, that was not okay. That was maybe not well received. Okay, cool. But I'm saying this because I think that there's so many things that we underestimate and we overlook in ourselves. The thing that you feel the most shame about, or the thing that maybe you even are the most angry about how you grew up or what you've experienced in your life, the relationships you've been in, like if you could look back, if you could step back and look at it from, what did I learn from this? What have I adapted in how I am that actually gives me this secret weapon, that actually gives me an advantage, to the point of like, even for me, coaching for a long time was like only certain types of people could be coaches, like that they had made, you know, X amount of money, that they had done all these things. And I didn't have this confidence or belief in myself, not understanding that, yeah, those people absolutely can coach certain people. But my story, my struggles, the things I've had to heal actually qualify me for my ideal client. Because I know what it's like to feel deep unworthiness, to feel deep shame about something, and to be completely unaware of how big of an impact it has on you. I know I made a reel about this the other day, which I guess if you're on Facebook, you're not going to know about that. And if you're listening to the podcast, you would not know about that. But I talked about not only having a mentally ill family member, but also getting diagnosed with herpes at 19 and how that wrecked me. And I had so much shame and I felt like I had to hide. And there was always this, I have to be a good girl to make up for this thing that I feel so ashamed of. And when you are coming from a place of, I need to overcompensate for this thing, when you have this belief that I am not good enough as I am, because I am scarred, I have a scarlet letter, I am dirty, I am damaged goods. When you have that belief, you're not going to take, like, you're not going to take leaps of faith in yourself. You're always going to question yourself. Anytime somebody pushes back on you setting a boundary, you're going to think, oh, I probably shouldn't even set that boundary. I probably shouldn't even ask for this thing that I think I'm worthy of, because you know what? You're right. I'm dirty. I'm damaged goods. You're right. I don't have a right to ask you to not, like, to show up in the way I want to as a partner, as an employer, anything. So I don't share that because I want to be like the coach for people with that diagnosis or with a parent that or a family member with mental illness. I don't share it for that reason. And I also don't share that to like put down on anybody in my life. I share it because I know I want my clients, I want the people in my community to know, I know what it's like to feel like you are not worthy of taking a leap of faith. I know what it's like because I was, one of my trauma responses was to be a fawner, was to always overly people please. I know what it's like to have a debilitating fear of rejection. Because if you are a people pleaser to that extent, somebody saying no to you is not them saying no to whatever you're presenting. It's not them saying no, not right now, which is what I had to learn and adapt to believe. It is them saying, no, you're not good enough. I know what it's like to be like stopped dead in your tracks because of that. And that is my unique selling point because I've had to overcome that. I've had to overcome thinking I can't leave this role even though I'm unhappy in it because I don't want to disappoint someone. Because again, if you have gotten your affection, if you have gotten the attention and love that you wanted as a child by keeping everybody else happy, you are so much more likely to stay in a role, stay in a job, stay in a relationship that does not serve you because you don't want to disappoint the other person. And God forbid you have a really good relationship with your supervisor, that's going to deepen it even more because you're going to have this even the stronger attachment to them, as in, I can't disappoint them. Even if it's not actually better for you and your life, your family, your personal needs, you're going to be so tied to needing the validation of that person, of that company, of that job, that you aren't going to feel like there's any other options for you. You're going to be so focused on, well, who would want me as an employee if I'm not good enough in this role and I can't disappoint this person? Like, there's so many things that go into where we get our worthiness from and how we allow that to stop us. So I wanted to create this episode. I wanted to go live about this because I hope that something I've said planted a seed or triggered something in you that maybe there's something that you have been doubting yourself about. And you've been using that as a reason that you can't take the next step in your journey. Maybe it's, you know, taking that next step in faith in your career. Maybe it's taking that next step to become an entrepreneur. Maybe it's taking that next step to invest in yourself. And you're not doing it because you don't feel good enough as you are. Can I just give you a little perspective from an outside? There are so many things about you that you're not seeing right now that qualify you beyond any belief you could have right now. Trust and believe there are. And your healed struggles, the things that are holding you back right now, when you heal them, are going to be the things that qualify you to help so many more people. And it doesn't even have to be something that you get paid to help people. I remember the day when a friend of mine reached out to me because she had a parent who had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And she was going through like just the different things that that parent had been doing. And I was able to just relate to them and say, like, I get it. I know what that's like. She told me about something that parent did that was like they were so convinced about something. I don't want to get into details and I don't want to like overshare on this. But the point is, the moment that I could tell her about something that I'd experienced and we could laugh about it, and I could hear the relief in their voice, I remember thinking it was all worth it. Just to have that one moment where I could be there for a friend in a way that I knew most people could not be there for them. And I could give them the gift of humor in a very dark, in a very rough time. I thought that's every last bit of it worth it. And there are so many things that if we allowed ourselves to be open about, if we allowed ourselves to be vulnerable about, there were so many opportunities where we could be connecting with other people, that we could be helping, that we could be serving in some way. But we're not, because we're still holding on to it. And we're still staying in the, this happened to me, therefore this. And I just hope that if you get nothing else from this, you realize no matter what has happened to you, it's going to help somebody else, and you can heal from it. You can heal from it, and you will have such a widely different perspective on it once you do. So thank you for everybody who joined on the live, and I hope you have a wonderful day and rethink something that you've been having shame or doubt about.